Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. Today is a special day as we have opened the doors to the 8th annual Extraordinary Women Ignite Conference. This is my favorite event of the year. The ripple effect that comes from this room changes the trajectories of lives and businesses forever. Women's voices matter more than ever, and we are going to be unleashing the fire within each of the extraordinary women in the room November 10th through 12th in Golden, Colorado. Our work as leaders and entrepreneurs will shape our future world. And I feel like so many of us have been called into this time to bring our unique gifts to change the outcomes of the biggest issues of our world, of our country, our communities, and even our families. And yes, we have some pretty damn big issues to tackle right now, my friends. My mission is to raise up the voices, the visibility, and businesses of 1 million women entrepreneurs around the world. It's big, it's bold, and I'm all in because I believe that women's wisdom is the medicine our earth needs. That's what Ignite is all about. And yet, to acknowledge that wisdom that lives within isn't enough. It means that we must find the clarity in our voice, in our vision, and have the courage, yes, the courage to step into visibility and really lead with big conviction. This is what grows businesses, and this is what creates the impact that we desire. We can't sit in the sidelines, my friends. And Ignite is the catalyst that has amplified and put into action the visions of hundreds of women over the years. If you want to learn more about Ignite, visit CamiGellner.com/Ignite and join the extraordinary women in the room who are leading change in our world. The women in my community are mission-driven, they've been called, and they have listened. They lead in the world of technology and social impact. They are consultants and coaches and authors and speakers. They've listened to their own wisdom to expand their own ripple effect on the world, and nothing makes me prouder. They are mastering their voice and visibility and applying mindful strategies that create exponential revenue growth. These strategies often break the rules of that old traditional marketing, dare I say, bro marketing, that has been taught for so many years. I myself am a traditionally trained marketer with 20 plus years in the marketing space. Everything has shifted, and if you're doing it the same way, it's probably not working for you. Attracting our soul clients into our businesses means leaving behind those outdated ways of marketing and learning to speak our clients' love language. It means having a thought leadership message that leads change in the world. These new world strategies to entrepreneurial growth is what I'll be teaching at Ignite. And alongside of me, I'm going to be bringing some of the best leaders in the world of impact and voice and visibility, helping us bring our most important messages and ideas to the masses. Today's guest is one of those extraordinary leaders. Our keynote speaker at the 2022 Extraordinary Women Ignite Conference is Carrie Freeman, the co-CEO of Second Muse. Second Muse is an impact and innovation company that builds resilient economies. Since 2012, Carrie has been steering the global company's approach to finding and nurturing innovators dedicated to social and an environmental good and building supportive ecosystems around them. Its mission aligns with Carrie's fundamental belief in the infinite capacity for humans to learn and grow and the potential for inclusive markets and businesses to massively scale positive change in our world. Under Carrie's leadership, Second Muse has run programs that define inspiring visions, build lasting businesses, and unite people across the globe. Over the last decade, while growing 40% year over year, they've designed and implemented programs on 7 continents with 600 organizations such as NASA, the World Bank, Pivotal Ventures, and Nike. Carrie's experiences at Second Muse have strengthened her conviction that deep, sustainable collaboration between governments, businesses, and the communities in which they operate fosters innovation. I am thrilled that Carrie said yes to joining us as our keynote in November. I hope you will join us in Colorado also. Sign up for the Extraordinary Women Ignite Conference at CammieGellner.com/ignite. Now let's meet Carrie Freeman of Second Muse. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Carrie. I am so thrilled to have you join us today.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be with you.
Yeah. And so are you in New Mexico today? Is that where you're at?
I am. I am in the lovely sunny state of New Mexico.
Awesome. It's sunny up here in Colorado as well. We're very happy because we've had a pretty wild and crazy spring.
Yes, I know you had snow a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but we're thankful and we're grateful. We had snow a week ago. So that's on June 1st, we had snow. And are you out of the fires at this point or are you still in fire zones?
I live in Albuquerque, and so we've had fires kind of crop up around us, but most of the fires have been all around us. Okay. So no, and they're burning, unfortunately. They're mostly contained. They're in a much better place.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's why we are very grateful for the moisture. So there's no complaints, even with snow on June 1st.
I understand that.
Yes. So you are clearly out to make a difference in the world. Tell us a little bit about how you became an explorer of impact, of making a difference in the world.
Such a great topic that I love. Back in high school, I grew up in Colorado, and I got turned on to this notion of finding the good in the world. It was actually an institute that was run by Donella Meadows, who really was the godmother of systems change. And this whole notion of one, looking at things from a systems perspective, but also finding good in the world, because there's good in the world happening all around us. If you focus in on, popular media, you see negativity.
Right.
And so that could hurt anyone in a disparate state. But I got into this idea of finding good in the world. And then I got turned on to kind of natural capitalism and the whole movement around that Paul Hawkins and Amory Lovins and this whole idea of like, how do you use business really as a force for good? That wasn't the language at the time, but this idea that there's more than just making money. And so I feel like I've been on that path for goodness, almost 30 years now. And I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did you, I love that even when in high school, you were starting to explore this and find this. And then I know you worked in the corporate world and you were actually doing some sustainability work there before you stepped into the co-CEO role of Second Muse. So what was that role that you were in there?
I spent 15 years at Intel, everything from technical management. And then I had several different roles in the broader impact space, but one of them was helping form the corporate sustainability group, and it was really focused on bringing together all of the efforts and being more strategic about them with regards to what the corporation was doing with environmental sustainability. And it was so incredibly exciting and powerful. It's an amazing corporation, and being able to kind of convene and uplift that even further was a dream come true.
Absolutely. And being able to help lead those kinds of conversations has got to be incredibly rewarding.
Yes, so rewarding. And you get to work with amazing people and it's so rewarding. I'm forever grateful for that opportunity.
And so how did you land into Second Muse?
Second Muse, my co-CEO is one of my dear friends. We've been friends for over 25 years. And we at some point, our undergrad and graduate schools and intertwined. And what I realized, we'd kind of gotten out of touch with each other for a while, going off on our own career paths. And Second Muse was doing amazing things. It was like this team of young people out changing the world with really big power players. And when I was looking for a career change, I thought, well, I could go down the, keep kind of climbing the corporate ladder, which I was headed towards. Mm-hmm. Incredibly exciting. Or I could jump in and take the plunge into a scrappy little small startup. And here I am 10 years later, and we've really grown an amazing organization.
Well, I was just reading some of the work. I mean, the work is so impressive. And I'm going to share some of these stats that I found on an infographic on your site. So Second Muse has accelerated 500 ventures, prototyped 30,000 plus solutions, enabled $325 million of investment to support ventures, and generated $10 billion of social and environmental impact. I mean, that's just, wow, that is incredible. What are some of the projects right now that you're most excited about? Give us a glimpse into some of the world of projects right now for you.
Absolutely. So I love all our projects, and people ask, you know, well, which ones are your favorite? I'm like, come on now. I like to have one. I have one, but I'm only trying to pick your favorite child, but that's how I always feel because I love all of our work. So we really work at the intersection of innovation, entrepreneurship, and social and environmental justice. And that is really what we do. We're on a mission to bring entrepreneurs and change makers into the world and support them through all sorts of different important efforts around ecosystem building. And so we do work that is focused on supporting youth wellness. Really think about it in terms of how can we use technology in a better way to support youth as they grow and develop. As we think of youth, I guess almost, I don't want to say poisoned, but not having the best of online experiences, and we're out to change that. Mm. And it was needed before the pandemic, and it is so, so needed now.
So really being able to look at how technology can bring good to Absolutely. That younger generation versus the perception that we often have of, you know, gaming and that sort of thing that may not be the most positive approach for our youth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think in general, so much of our work is focused on how do we use technology broadly, not just, you know, information technology, digital technology, but technology to improve the world, but also how do you use the power of collaboration and relationships and the human connection to really, you know, embolden that. Because we can have all the amazing technology we want in the world, but it's people that actually make the difference, right? Every single day, choices and the way we engage with each other.
Right. So the world has a lot of big issues to confront. How do you think about, I mean, how do you go looking at which are the right ones, the most pressing problems of our world that you want to dig into?
That's such a great question. And it's kind of both a people find us and we dig into things. And then we also have themes. We have really been on the forefront of environmental sustainability, climate change, circularity. Those are somewhat different, but all very similar. We've been focused on that for 14 years. We started work with NASA and Nike and USAID and the State Department literally 14 years ago in this space, really finding technologies, whether that's renewable energy technologies or climate tech or advanced materials that are not as toxic, whatever that may be. So we've really been focused on that, and we still continue to do a substantial amount of work in that. Our portfolio is probably about 60% environmentally focused. We also focus a lot on equity and just justice in general. And so we do a lot in the gender space as well as other people that are people of color and just don't have as much access in general. And this is Pride Month. And right. So it's something that we focus on as well. And I would say that all of our programs, we try to take an approach that really covers things from an intersectional perspective, right?
Right. Across multiple different intersections.
Right. You may be a bi female founder that's focused on developing out technologies to help youth. And that's kind of like, okay, this is all of our cross sections at one time and supporting those. And so we layer on as many lenses as possible into all of our programming.
That's so cool. So how, give us a kind of a roadmap when you are working with a venture, how does that come about? I mean, what's the process that people come into your communities and how do you support them with the work that you do?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question. So I'll give you a big picture perspective. One of our programs that we run out of our Singapore office, and it covers all of Southeast Asia, is called the Incubator Network. And the intent of the incubator network is to reduce plastics. And we started out really focused on ocean plastics, and we're still very much focused on reducing ocean plastics. But if you just look at leakage of plastics into the ocean in general, it's because they're leaking from the environment, right? I mean, most people aren't out there just you know, throwing stuff into the ocean. It's that it's leaking from the environment on land. And so we take an approach where we often will run innovation programs that either ourselves or through incubators or accelerators that we work with in the region that put out open calls for entrepreneurs that have solutions that they're developing. And sometimes they're early stage solutions, and sometimes, you know, they're later stage ventures that need support, but they come into our programs and then we have a selection process. And we help these, they're selected, and then we help these ventures get what they need to actually be successful. Sometimes they need capital, sometimes they need pilots or pilot partners, sometimes they need staffing guidance. Sometimes, honestly, they just need a community and mentorship and a support network. We've really looked at, we call it the six C's, and we've looked at what entrepreneurs need. You know, they need creativity, they need capital, they need connection, they need care, all of these things that are so important to being a successful entrepreneur. And so we work to provide that. It's not just us. We take a highly collaborative networked approach. So recognizing we're not the solution for everything, but we, you know, we will engage people that can support them.
Right. You know how to bring the right people to the table to support them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So is that part of your relationship, a relational approach to really developing ecosystems?
It is. It is. And so really we focus on, it's really our theory of change. How do we increase relational wealth in the world? Because we realize it's really powerful. If you sit there and let that simmer for a minute. It's really relationships and humans, right? It's humans. It's all of us that make change in the world.
Yeah. And I just even think of my own business, right? It's just how relationships have been everything that have, you know, opened doors and opportunities and where I've learned, where I've made connections. I mean, it's such an intricate part of our businesses. So I like the concept of relational wealth.
Yeah, it's really, really powerful to think about that and thinking of if you have power, how do you give more power to others? And so we think about this a lot in terms of where does power currently lay and how do we spread more of that in a relational way?
So, you know, for our listeners who are tuning in today and, you know, just thinking about their own business, what advice would you give them to, you know, look at their own relational wealth and how they might improve upon that, improve upon how they give back to others? What would you recommend around that?
I love this. And I talk about this quite a bit, but I think we truly have, and especially business owners, right? Even if we're struggling business owners, we are still coming from a place of having an opportunity to share more. But I think of it as how can we, each of us, actually understand what people need more of and give more of that? So for example, that your employees come from a place of abundance versus the bare minimum. I think oftentimes, other than maybe maximizing shareholder wealth, which is, you know, the profit side of things, we can really look at what are all the ways in which we can support more people, our employees, our customers, you know, our community. And I guarantee you that each and every one of us can do more with what we have. And sometimes it's a small lift, quite frankly, and other times maybe it's a big one, but let's just start small. Right. I always tell people, start small, kind of do an inventory and think of how can we look at more opportunities? We're B Corp certified.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
That's a great place to just start.
Right. Because it gives you a framework, right?
It does. You know, I tell people you should do the assessment, whether or not you're interested in getting certified, whether or not you do it, it doesn't matter, right? It's a framework. Utilize it.
I've done that assessment. I think it's fantastic to do because it helps you see where you can improve and grow and change how you're making an impact in the world.
Mm-hmm. And I bet you came up with at least a couple of things.
Oh, absolutely. I came up with lots.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Most people do, but you know, they're like, oh, you know what? We can partner with a local community college and hire more women. You know what? I can actually give more benefits, or I can give more flexibility and freedom to our employees, right? That's really free. You know, flexibility is free for the most part. So there's so much we can do.
A couple of things I can think of that I did. One is I was using a lot of overseas help at that point. And so I brought all of my support staff here locally. So just to bring, you know, put my team around me here. And, you know, that's been beneficial to me certainly, but it's also about, you know, paying a living wage here in Colorado. And so that's been, you know, that's felt really good to me. Another thing is I quit printing big, you know, big books, workbooks for my Ignite conference in the fall. You know, so I just, little things like that. It's like, okay, I don't need to print all that paper. So just small things that can really help shift our thinking and how we're making a difference.
Absolutely. I love it. Those are perfect. And that's what I suggest everyone's starting with.
Cool. So I believe that women's voices matter. And I know that throughout your life and career that you have mentored and advocated for women and encouraged them to take more risks and see the unique value in their perspectives and experiences. Why are you called to mentor and advocate for women? I mean, what's the calling that's there for you that really speaks to your heart?
Mm-hmm. Such a good question. I was really raised with a belief that for an advanced, you know, humankind, we had to have the equality of men and women. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's just something that I've always believed in, and that women needed to be educated, women needed to have a voice, and have more decisions. Because quite frankly, if we look at how the world has evolved over the last millennia, when women aren't involved, I mean, we've had more wars and we've had all these challenges, and, you know, women bring a level of a different level of nurturing, of kindness and love and peace. And so I fundamentally believe that. And I guess I was gifted to the point where I've always been this leader and found myself in a position where I often have managed and led men, or, you know, convened groups of mostly men. Uh-huh. And I just have, over the course of my career, said, let's find opportunities for women to come together, to support each other, to have a voice, give more access, et cetera. And I think even whenever I was, you know, quite early on in my career, I just was called to do it. And so I feel like a lot of it has been informal for me. Obviously, mm-hmm. I do such a formal capacity, but it's just something that I do.
That's awesome. And I think that, you know, one, having those connections and relationships with the men is very equally important, because that's what changes and shifts the power balance, right? That's been off kilter for so long. And, also taking that active stand for, you know, and that's, I mean, as you know, I'm so passionate about raising up women's voices as well, and, you know, creating that impact of, okay, when women raise up their voice and their visibility and go out and do the work they're being called to do, our world does change. And I think we're in a really exciting space right now, that there's some really amazing opportunities happening for women.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And at the same time, I think there's, you know, we have backstops and backslides, and I think we see that all the time. Right?
Totally. And we see that, right? I mean, we're seeing that as well. And I think there's that, for me, it's like, okay, that's lighting even a bigger fire.
Exactly. So yes, I think things are exciting. And I think one of the things is, quite frankly, we actually don't know what it is. We know how to uplift women and their voices and how to support them, but I don't think any of us truly have a crystal ball and know exactly what the future should look like, no, mm-hmm. especially in a global context. I had a really powerful conversation with some of my team members who are in Asia, and they're like, hey, should we be applying the same rules and the same, like, you know, thoughts and approaches is the Me Too movement in the US. And I'm like, well, some things yes and some things no, probably not. I don't know that we've got the ideal state, I guess. I know we all know what's better.
Right.
Obviously there's like the below the line, the harassment, the really negative stuff. And then there's the how do you provide access and how do you get more of these voices heard? But I don't think we have. What does it really look like whenever there's more nurturing done by, you know, all genders?
Right.
The reality is there's a lot of needs that need to be met by people with family and community, et cetera. So it's exciting to tread the path and figure it out.
Absolutely. What do you think the biggest opportunity is for shifting that balance?
Well, I think at the most fundamental level, it's continuing to provide education and opportunities to women. Mm-hmm. So I really believe that whether that be, you know, in the Western countries or, you know, countries where, quite frankly, women don't have access to basic things like education. Obviously, birth control is part of that, you know, part of the family planning thing. So, you know, there are elements of that. But I do think formalized opportunities for women, whether that's through education or some other sort of job thing or job opportunity is incredibly important. And then I think from there, honoring women and their voices in what is best for them and helping women actually break out of the systemic expectations of them and the ones that they have on themselves. Because I think lots of times, women, like all of us, get put into these, even if you've had the education and you've done all these things, there may be a lot of expectations of you on, you know, what do you do with a family? How do you manage all this? And so I think continuing to like encourage women to think, to understand what they really want and who they are. And if, you know, if they want to stop their career and focus on their family, go for it.
But right.
Do it because they really want. So I think it's actually uplifting women to have opportunities, access, and trust in themselves, which is all that's really hard. I mean, I think there are times when I'm still working on trusting in myself. And being
like, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I have a niece who has two young children and, you know, she's moving in, you know, her way up the ladder in the corporate world. And she's quite impressive in all she's doing. And it's a very different world than it was, you know, 30 years ago when my son was small. You know, you see organizations are starting to do things differently for the women in their organizations, you know, provide better benefits during maternity leave and all those sorts of things. But, you know, they still have a long way to go. This space of, you know, creating better working environments for women, and for men for that matter, that's softer and kinder and gentler and more oriented to, oh my gosh, there's, you know, mothers are balancing a whole lot of different things. It's watching her has been really prevalent in my mind recently. Just, you know, how, yes, there's been progress and yes, there's more progress that can be made there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we try. I mean, we're still a small business and especially in the U.S., actually all around the world, but in the U.S., our parental leave support, you know, call it maternity leave, call it paternity leave, is awful, right? Mm-hmm. It's for one of the worst countries in the world. But quite frankly, it's not better in a lot of places. And so we try to do the absolute best that we can in terms of paying for leave. But we also try to be incredibly, I would say, supportive in allowing for, you know, part-time and coming back part-time. And at times, you know, paying for a childcare provider to travel with you. If you need to, you know, if you need to take care of a baby to go breastfeed, please do that. If someone's crying and, you know, you need to deal with that, please do. And so we try. I think that, you know, having me in a leadership position,
that certainly helps.
And it helps when I had a baby. I mean, I took my son all over the world and I'm like, you know, I hate to tell you guys, but when you book me back to back to back meetings and I'm running around Washington, D.C. and my nanny is with my son and my son needs my breast milk and my breastfeed pumping, you know, and I don't want to go there, but I have to go there. You know, at some point you're like, this is real, people. This is like, this is crazy and it's real.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think sometimes just being really human about it all and being like, this isn't good. So anyway,
I think what you just said there was it's to be human about it, right? Just to realize that this is human lives, and that's what we should be building. How we are really building companies, how we're showing up in the world is really let us all be humans. Let us be the person that we are, each one of us is, so that we can live our lives and serve and support in the work that we're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so one of the things right now is, you know, this whole concept of like the pick up and drop off. I think we have always had that, but, we had the, you know, kids were with you at home during the pandemic, and then we kind of moved back into this pick up and drop off. So I've got moms and single moms who literally are in the, hey, I have to go drop my kids at school, and then I can crank out several hours of work, and then I have to go pick them back up. Mm-hmm. and then I'll come back on later. So how do we just all give permission and grace for that, right? Because that's life.
Yeah. And that's the flexibility of that makes for better lives. And I think when I go back to when my son was small, there wasn't the flexibility. And I think that I do think there's progress. It's progressive, right? So, one of the things that, as I'm thinking about women and stepping into their voice and their visibility, and I think one of the things often is women don't think big enough. I mean, the opportunity that is before them and the impact that they can make. Sometimes they will, you know, they'll have an idea and they'll move into that direction, but they're not totally thinking really like what could be really transformational. How do you help your organizations that you work with really think bigger and the impact that they're making?
Well, we definitely try. And I think one of the most impactful ways is the process and approach we use. Our intent all along, whenever we're coming in and we're engaging and designing a program with the community, I think the first part is be intentional. Be intentional about absolutely everything. Design for greater equity and access. Have people at the table that wouldn't possibly get a voice in that solution. Be thoughtful about, the gender elements. Everything that's done and every design and every single thing has an impact. It has a ripple effect. Mm. And the more intentional you are about it, the better. And
what I like about that is it starts with the very basics of the conversations that you're having around the table. And it's not, I mean, it's like, yes, there's out there the impact in the bigger scheme of things, but there's also the impact that you're creating in the rooms that you're in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think sometimes that's just as impactful as the actual work.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think some of the people have told us before, you know, what you all do is when you help us be better and think differently, mm-hmm. and you inspire hope. And unfortunately, people, you know, and maybe unless you're in politics, but even then people don't buy hope, you know, at least not from organizations like ours, but that's what we do. Mm-hmm. So it's this feeling of like, oh my goodness, this feels better. This is inspiring. This can be better. And I think it all really starts with being relational, mm-hmm. and being intentional about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so there's that, you know, around the table impact, but why is it also important for leaders to think beyond their organization and how they can make the world a better place?
I think that's all of our jobs as leaders, quite frankly, right? I mean, mm-hmm. to me, that's what you do. That's what a leader does, right? A leader influences. And to me, the most important element of leadership is going beyond just your organization. It's fantastic, right? I mean, if you don't have your house picked up, then it's pretty hard to go out and do that, whether it's an individual perspective or, you know, organizational. But to me, that's what leadership really is in this day and age, mm-hmm. is going beyond, you know, just your organization and understanding how you can influence others and support others.
Yeah. You know, for me, when I think about the impact, the legacy that I want to leave in the world, It's those are the things that get me stretching further, that get me saying yes to things that I may not say yes to. That, I mean, it's just it's that stretch that it's like, yes, I can make a difference in a bigger way than, you know, what happens right here. And that's exciting to me.
Yeah. I think it's so exciting. It's what keeps me going for sure. But I see it in other people too, right? I just think never underestimate, I guess maybe never underestimate the human spirit and wanting to do better.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And it's just giving them the spark to add to that. And that's where that flame really takes, that's where it really flames up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So if the whole world could hear one message from you, what would it be?
Yes, if the world could, that is fantastic. I think if the whole world could hear one message, I guess it would honestly be go forth with love, be intentional about spreading love and kindness.
We definitely need that, don't we?
We do, right? If we all had more love and kindness, we'd be in much better shape.
Absolutely. So where can people connect with you and learn more about Second Muse?
Secondmuse.com. And across all of our social media handles, we're Second Muse, and so it's pretty easy to find us. And that's probably the best way to connect with me. I'm on LinkedIn. I do some of the other social media, but I would say the best way to connect with me and the company is just through secondmuse.com.
Cool. And the final question I always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with us today?
We all have more power and opportunity to influence other people and do good work, quite frankly, than we probably give ourselves credit for. Mm-hmm. That really starts with us being the change that we want to see in the world. So it all starts within our own selves. Mm. It's something I feel so strongly about, right? Be the change that you want to be and know that that's hard work.
Right.
So I guess that's probably the two things. And I think, how do you do that? Think about how you create your own happiness and your own truth. One of the people that I'm loving on right now is Martha Beck. I mean, but just in general, and I think it's this notion of when you're true to yourself, you actually emanate goodness in the world.
Absolutely, because you resonate on just a higher vibration, and it impacts the people around you, and it lifts them up.
Absolutely, yeah. One of her things, and it really resonated with me too, is like this the notion of fractals, right? And, think of ourselves as fractals and communities, and if we're all vibrating at a higher frequency, those around us are as well. So, be true to yourself and your core, and pay attention to that. Give yourself some self-care, quite frankly. Know that it starts from you. So I guess it's kind of probably the same message all the way through those three threads.
Yep. Yeah.
But it's probably kind of the essence of it in my mind.
Well, and it's different ways into all of it, but it's really, all the roads are leading to showing up in your best light.
Mm-hmm. And know and trust that it's not going to be, you showing up in your best light will actually light up the world.
Right. Well, Carrie, this has been such a pleasure to have this conversation with you, and keep doing the wonderful, amazing work that you're doing in the world. And it's really been a pleasure to have this conversation and get to know you a bit more.
Thank you. Same. I'm so excited. And I'm so grateful for you and all the work that you're doing. It's important. Mm. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, let's stay connected. You have a fabulous day.
Thank you. You too.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business or impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygellner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.